One of the toughest challenges for Christians today is to find a good church, a place where the gospel is powerfully preached, where worship is reverent, and the people have a genuine love for one another. Hi, I'm Mike Brown, pastor of Christ United Reformed Church in Santee, and I invite you to worship with us on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We also have Sunday school classes for all ages, including adults. For more information, visit our website at christurc.org. That's christurc.org.
Announcing to everyone that Jesus is Lord and Christ. This is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon.
How often do you take the Lord's Supper? How important is the Lord's Supper to you, dear Christian? And in your churches, is that an emphasis? Is it something that we believe is a time of our own personal commitment? Is it something that the Lord is giving to us? How do we view the Supper and what is its importance for the Christian life? That's what we're going to look at today and tackle on Abounding Grace Radio. So thankful that you've taken time out of your day to tune in. You can visit us on the web at agradio.org. Web address is agradio.org. The number is 888-504-8805, 888-504-8805. Find us on Facebook and download the apps for your Android and your iPhone so that you can take Abounding Grace Radio with you wherever you go. Well, today on Abounding Grace, we're continuing our study in the Heidelberg Catechism with Pastor Mike Brown from Christ United Reformed Church in Santee. And again, I love studying this, Mike. I say this every time that we start these Friday programs, but I'm so edified and realize how important it is to be refreshed in the basic truths of the Christian faith. Because even as a pastor, I forget these things. Even as a pastor, I need to be reminded of why we do what we do. How much more the listener, how much more the common churchgoer to be refreshed in the truths of what we confess. And the Heidelberg Catechism provides us a great avenue to do that with real profitability in understanding Christian truth.
That's right. It's one of the best tools that we have in Christianity today is the Heidelberg Catechism. Just an excellent resource for whether you are a beginner in studying doctrine and theology, or whether you are a seasoned Christian who's read much, even somebody with a seminary education. You really never outgrow something like the Heidelberg Catechism with its simplicity, with its profundity, and the way that it summarizes so beautifully the Christian faith.
Now, today on Abounding Grace, we have really moved into this section here in the Heidelberg. We've gone through guilt, grace, and gratitude. We're in the heart of this grace section of what the Lord does for us. And the sacraments are two sacraments the Lord has given us is baptism and the Lord's Supper. The sacraments are means of grace and a help to us in the Christian life. And I think it's so important to emphasize that today, Mike. Sacraments today sort of in modern evangelical Christianity are dirty words and people seem to be scared of them. And so we either have so marginalized them or reduced them to just personal commitment time. They really have lost their not only historical understanding, but biblical understanding of how the Lord is helping us, because we are creatures that need to see, to taste, to touch, to handle. The Lord is giving us visible words, visible signs to strengthen us in our faith. And how much do we need that? How much do we need to recover an appreciation of a word, as we've looked at, a gospel preaching word and sacrament ministry?
That's right. We have to remember that the sacraments, Lord's Supper and baptism, is God speaking to us visibly, tangibly. It affects our senses. God is so merciful, if we think of it. Not only does he give his whole revelation, the whole counsel of his word, and we hear that word proclaimed and preached in a faithful church, but then he also gives this visible word of a sign that is then attached to his promises. And he worked this way all throughout redemptive history. When God would make a covenant and he would communicate his promises verbally, he would then attach a sign and say, now here is a sign that will confirm your faith in the things that I have said. So when he made his promise not to flood the earth, he gave the sign of the rainbow. When he made his promise to Abraham that he would make of him a great nation and give him a land, he gave the sign of circumcision. And in the new covenant, he gives the signs of baptism and the Lord's Supper, both of which testify to the reality of Christ, his person and work, his life, death, and resurrection that is sufficient for our salvation.
Right. So jumping right into this, then last time we looked at baptism, which was the sign of initiation into the family of God, into the church, into God's kingdom. It's that sign of washing that signifies for us the washing that we need in our hearts, that the blood of Jesus Christ gives us. And so it's a sign of identity. It's a sign of belonging. It's a sign that we belong to Jesus Christ and have become members by faith in him, that now we have that internal washing that we need, and that outward sign of water communicates that and is a sign to remind us that Christ has washed us internally. So it's that sign of identity and initiation. Now we look at the Lord's Supper. And the Lord's Supper is a sign of renewal. It's a sign of the Lord, and we're going to look at this here. This is question 75, of renewal that we need as Christians to be reminded and assured that Jesus has died for us and has given us his life by his body and blood. So that's question 75. How does the Lord's Supper remind you and assure you, notice that, remind and assure, we need that you share in Christ's one sacrifice on the cross and in all his gifts? In this way, Christ has commanded me and all believers to eat this broken bread and to drink this cup. With this command, he gave this promise. First, as surely as I see with my eyes the bread of the Lord broken for me and the cup given to me, so surely his body was offered and broken for me and his blood poured out for me on the cross. Let's just stop there. That's a wonderful statement, right, Mike? Look at that. Look at the emphasis there on assurance of what I see and what it communicates that Jesus has done for me.
That's right. Yeah, the Heidelberg Catechism here in question 75 does a superb job of summarizing what the Lord's Supper is about with two answers. And that first one that you just read, Chris, is telling us that, again, it's a sign that points to the reality. And how comforting is it? As surely as I see with my eyes the bread and the wine, as surely as the bread and the wine go in my mouth, which is so personal, so surely has Christ given his body and his blood for me. So it draws my attention back to what Christ has done 2,000 years ago, to that objective reality, to that historic event. So Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. And that's one of the things, that's not the only thing as we're going to talk about, but it's one of the things that happens in the Lord's Supper is that we remember what Christ has done for us. And how wonderful is that? You know, if we sit through a sermon and we hear it, if the sermon wasn't so great, maybe if it didn't articulate Christ so well, maybe if I sort of dozed off a little bit, which we're prone to do sometimes, then this comes after the sermon, which is so clear, Christ's body and blood given for me as surely as the bread and wine go in my mouth.
Now, what is one of the best, you know, natural experiences that we have, that we need? Well, we know this. If I've worked hard all day long and I've been out in the sweat of the field or whatever job I have, you know, and I come in and what is one of the greatest delights? It's warm bread out of an oven. I mean, it really is something that is satisfying to me, isn't it? When I'm weary and I'm hungry, I have the experience of having food given to me that strengthens my physical life. I need that. You need that. If you didn't do that, Mike, we would waste away and die. We all know this. People have a basic necessity to eat. They need food. They need drink, without which we wither away and our bodies die.
Yeah, and let's not even get into all of the benefits of good red wine, right? I mean, not only does it provide nourishment to us in certain ways, but it also helps grease the sandy gears of life, and it exhilarates, and God has given it to us, as Psalm 104 says, to gladden the heart of man. And so you're absolutely right. The Lord has used something so basic to our nature nature, bread and wine, things that we need, food for our sustenance. And he says, here, I am your bread and your wine, in a sense. And I like to think of good bread, like the kind you get in Italy that comes out hot out of an oven. You pour olive oil all over it and some salt. That's good bread that God gives. And he says, this is something that everybody wants, ultimately, as soon as you smell it, and some good red wine. Well, he uses those things. He doesn't use something disgusting. He uses something good to testify of himself and his body and his blood.
Right. And Jesus taught this so profoundly in that whole section of John 6, where there he fed the 5,000. Remember, he saw all these people. They were scattered without, like sheep without a shepherd. And what was he concerned to do? He was concerned to feed them. They're hungry. But where are we going to get food? Where are we going to get food? Well, you know the story. He feeds the 5,000 from a few loaves and fish. And it's a marvel. They had all this food left over in the 12 baskets. And the disciples are marveled. What was the message in that? Well, the message was this. The message was, just as Moses in the wilderness, remember when he prayed and manna was dropped down from heaven, and they were fed, the Lord was teaching that he is the manna from heaven and that we must eat him spiritually. We must eat in our spiritual life and have our souls refreshed, just like we understand in our physical bodies, we need our bodies refreshed and strengthened. You need that in your soul. And that's why Jesus says so clearly in John chapter 6, then they said to him, Lord, give us this bread always. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Whoa. If you come to Christ, he is going to provide for your spiritual life the reality that you'll never hunger again and never thirst by his very body and blood. That's the Lord's Supper.
That's right. And this is the second thing that question 75 states, is that, you know, not only does the Lord's Supper make this objective sign clear about objective reality, point to the reality, but second, as surely as I receive from the hand of him who serves, that is the minister, and taste with my mouth the bread and cup of the Lord, given me as sure signs of Christ's body and blood, so surely he nourishes and refreshes my soul for eternal life with his crucified body and poured out blood. Now, this is really important for us to get, because nowadays it's common for people to think of the Lord's Supper merely as a memorial, merely as a remembrance. It is a remembrance. Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. And we're remembering what he did for us 2,000 years ago. But loved ones, it's not only a remembrance. It's something more. And just as you quoted in John 6, Jesus said, you must eat my flesh and drink my blood. Then later, on the night before he was crucified, he instituted the sacrament, you know, during the Passover meal, because this is really the connection now from the Passover in the Old Covenant now to the Lord's Supper in the New Covenant. He says, this is my body, this is my blood. But it's not only remembrance, because as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 16, now listen carefully to this, the cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? That word, participation, is the Greek word koinonia, and it means communion. This is where we get the word communion from. Maybe you've wondered, why do we call the Lord's Supper communion? It comes from this Greek word, which also means participation or sharing. Now, what Paul is saying here, and let's think carefully here, he is saying we participate, we share, we commune with the body and blood of Jesus Christ. Now, where is the body and blood of Jesus Christ right now, physically? It is in heaven. He was raised from the dead. He is not a spirit being. He is real flesh and blood. He is ascended into heaven to the right hand of the Father until the time when he will return and we will see him visibly. But we are nourished with that body and blood that was crucified for us, which remains in heaven. So the Lord's Supper, when we receive it in faith, it does something for us. It becomes a means of grace. We receive in the Lord's Supper the body and blood of Christ, which is in heaven. The it doesn't become the body and blood of Christ here on earth. It's only bread and wine, but we are nourished. That is what communion means. We participate in the body and blood of Christ in heaven by the Holy Spirit, and we receive that by faith.
Right. That's so helpful. And I think, you know, question and answer 76 even helps us more with that, because I think, you know, when I look back at what the authors of the Heidelberg did here, you understand why they gave 76. That's a lot for us to get, mm-hmm. what Mike just outlined. And I think you could step back and say, wait a minute. Did you just say what I think you said? You know, of course, we're going to look at this next time. We're not saying that the body body and blood transubstantiates. This doesn't become the physical. We're not eating. We're not cannibals. We're not eating the physical body and blood so that it becomes that. The bread and wine becomes that. We're not saying that. But notice what Mike said. Just what the Heidelberg emphasizes here, he is really nourishing and refreshing our soul for eternal life with his crucified body and poured out blood. Mm-hmm. So the instrument to receive that, this is why we call it a sign of renewal, is faith.
Right.
When we believe and we trust in Christ and we rest on the gospel promises, so think of how this works together. The gospel's preached. You've just heard the wonderful work of Christ. And now he invites you to commune with him.
Right.
He invites you to the table and you say, well, where is he? I don't see him. He's not here, is he?
He's in heaven.
His body's in heaven. But we'll look at this here in a minute. The Holy Spirit is working, bridging that gap because of the union who lives both in us and in Christ. We are united more and more, says question and answer 76, to his blessed body, so that we are actually receiving for our souls his crucified body and poured out blood. Now that we may not fully grasp our minds, it's hard for us to get that, but the Lord is teaching us that in the scriptures when Jesus said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you cannot have eternal life. This is something he must give to us. And the Holy Spirit is that sign of renewal where he provides that assurance and that crucified body and shed blood so that we can eat and enjoy Christ.
Right. And just because we don't fully comprehend how that happens doesn't mean it's not true. You know, in scripture, there are three great mystical unions that are very mysterious to us that we can't fully comprehend. The first is the Trinity. How is it that God is one and yet he is three distinct persons, not three gods, Father, Son, Holy Spirit? I don't know. That's a mystery. It's a mystical union. How is it that Christ is both fully God and fully man? I don't know. That's a mystery. That's the second great mystical union. The third is this. How is it that Christ is in heaven and is so united with his body here on earth, his church, and that we would even receive nourishment, benefit from his body in heaven because we are so united with him? I don't know. It's a mystery. Those are three great mystical unions. But this is what the promise of God is concerning the Lord's Supper. When we receive the Lord's Supper in faith, we benefit from that means of grace. You know, sometimes I've heard people say, Chris, well, isn't Jesus or the Holy Spirit nourishing and refreshing my soul for eternal life all the time? You know, doesn't the gospel nourish and refresh, you know, throughout my life? Well, yes, that's true. However, God has instituted means to do that supremely. And those means, according to the New Testament, is the preached word that we hear and also the Lord's Supper in which we partake.
Right. And I think, you know, you see this in certain passages. You might say, oh, what do you mean mystical? That sounds so weird to me. You guys are getting into weird theological jargon. No. You know, you read this stuff all the time. We just have not pondered the implications of it. Think of Ephesians chapter 2. I mean, we read this all the time. He made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved. Now let's look at what he did. And raised us up and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Well, Mike, you're here. How is that possible? He just said it's already happened. You're raised up and seated together with Christ in the heavenly places. How so? Because you're so united to Jesus. You're so united to his resurrected body. That's the reality. That's how the New Testament describes your reality and communion with Christ. If he is there, I'm already there. Mm-hmm. And even though my full body, that's going to happen in the resurrection, spiritually, it's as good as done. Mm-hmm. The resurrection will be the final stamp on that. But the point is, I'm already enjoying that communion. It's not that Christ is absent with us. In Matthew chapter 28, he said, I'm with you always to the close of the age. And the Lord's Supper is communicating his real body and blood to us so that we have our souls nourished. I don't know, that's been so helpful for me. And I don't think Christians understand this and appreciate the real spiritual benefit the Lord has given to us in the supper.
Yeah, and we need to go off of those spiritual benefits that the Lord himself has given to us, those things that he has ordained. You know, many times we think that our own innovations as Christians are more effective, whether that is certain kind of praise music or our devotion time or small groups or what have you. And many of those things are fine. Many of those things are beneficial. And we're not saying that, devotional time, small group prayer meetings are not beneficial, but they will never eclipse. They can never outdo what God has ordained for our spiritual benefit, word and sacrament. In other words, if somebody were to ask you, what are the two most important things for your Christian life, for the vitality of your Christian life, it should be without question, we should know, it is the proclaimed word, the preached word each week, and also coming to the Lord's table again and again and again. Those two things Christ has ordained for our spiritual benefit.
Right. And so I want you to think, dear listener, just for a moment. You've heard this. Imagine if you were listening to the teaching of Jesus on this. How would you feel if you heard Jesus Christ teach this and say this to the multitudes? Here it is. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Do you know the offense of that? Think about this for a minute. He just said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you'll not have life. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. As the living Father sent me, I live because of the Father. So he who feeds on me will live because of me. I think it's so important to understand. We're not saying radical things here. This was so offensive to the people of Jesus's day. You know what happened in John 6? He had 5,000 standing there. By the time he was done, he shrunk the church down to 12, one of which was a devil. The point is, they did not receive this teaching. And this is what Jesus is emphasizing here, that we must eat him. That was offensive to them. And we have to stress the importance of eating and drinking Christ.
That's right. And I know it may sound radical, but that is what we receive in the Lord's Supper. We receive the whole Christ. It's simply that he has ascended into heaven, and we receive him by means of the Holy Spirit through the sacrament that he ordained, the Lord's Supper. That's, again, 1 Corinthians 10. Paul is saying that in light of everything Jesus said in John 6, that we participate, that we commune with the body and blood of Jesus Christ in heaven.
These are spiritual realities. I mean, he says here, the people who heard it say, this is a hard saying. Who can understand what you guys are saying? Who can understand what Jesus is saying here? And Jesus has been speaking like this all throughout, for instance, John's gospel. He's been saying to the woman at the well, unless you drink this water that I give you, living water, you'll always thirst. If you drink my water, you'll never thirst again. He was not talking about just physical water, was he? He was talking about the water that he gives of life by the word. He's using spiritual realities all throughout John. Nicodemus, unless you're born again, you can't enter the kingdom. He's not talking about a physical rebirth. He's talking spiritually. It's the same with the supper. And that's so important for us to understand, that this is the way the New Testament describes these realities for us. And that's the important thing we want to end on here in this section. What does it mean to eat the crucified body of Christ and to drink his poured out blood? It means to accept with a believing heart. Here's what Jesus is after. How do I eat him? How do I do that? If he just said, I must eat his flesh and drink his blood, it means to accept with a believing heart the entire suffering and death of Christ. And by believing, to receive forgiveness of sins and eternal life. But it means more. Through the Holy Spirit, who both lives in both Christ and in us, we are more united and more united to Christ's blessed body And so although he's in heaven and we are on earth, we are flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone, and we live forever on and are governed by one spirit as members of our body are by one soul.
That's right. And that's why we see the New Covenant Church in Acts chapter 2, for example, when they gathered together, it was for word and sacrament. They continued steadfastly in apostolic doctrine, the fellowship, the breaking of the bread, this Lord's Supper, and the prayers. And if we receive Christ in the Lord's Supper, then we should desire this every time we meet, when we come together, to hear his word and then to participate in this great communion with Jesus Christ in the sign and seal that he has ordained.
Right. So we hope, you know, we're pretty passionate about this because we understand the benefit and the blessing that the Lord commanded us to do this. He didn't command it for no reason. He commanded it, dear listener, because we need this. And it takes place, it should be taking place in our local church as a regular practice for the spiritual nourishment of your souls to feed on Christ. And we want you to enjoy him in all the ways that he has commanded us to enjoy him. Thanks for tuning in today to Abounding Grace Radio. As always, we invite you to visit us on the web at agradio.org. Again, the web address is agradio.org. Download the podcast, write to us, numbers 888-504-8805, 888-504-8805. Thanks again for tuning into Abounding Grace. Until next time, may the gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in all of its glory continue to richly.
Thank you for listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Call us toll free at 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. Contact us through the web at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. We're on Facebook. Look for Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. Listen daily on this station and subscribe in iTunes or use our free Android app. We trust this program has encouraged you to trust in Christ for your standing with God and to live in His abounding grace. Entertainment is good fun, but your pastor shouldn't be a stand-up comic, and church is not a nightclub. In worship, we meet a holy God face-to-face, in Christ, in His gospel. Escondido United Reformed Church is committed to reverent, joyful worship every Sunday, 9:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Escondido United Reformed Church, 760-745-1679, eurc.org, 760-745-1679, eurc.org.